From UCB Comedy Studios, this is the UCB Digital Podcast. I'm Nate Russell. So maybe you're out there right now and you're somebody with a production background. You're a producer, you're an editor, you're somebody who's working on productions, working, crewing, going through the process. You love digital media, you love production, but in your heart of hearts, you're a writer. And the question is, how do you make the leap from what you're doing now to that thing that is in your heart that you want to do? Well, you've tuned into the right episode today. Welcome in, y'all. We are excited to chat with our good buddy, Mujan Zulfagari is here today to talk about that specific transition. Producer to writer, she's staffing now. She staffed at the Detour recently. As we talked to her, she was just about to start a new gig, unnamed, but new and exciting at TBS, and is working as an actor and a writer exclusively and has made that leap happen and has done so since the last time we talked to her on this show, which was when we did a little case study with her job at that time as a, I believe that they used the phrase story producer for the Middle of the Night show, which was a one-season show on MTV maybe a couple of years back. So we talked to her and Charlie Todd on a previous episode of this show, case studying the process by which that show came to life. And at that time, Mujan was making that transition. She had the producing background, and that was and I'm using air quotes here, producing job. It was a writing job, but it was a, you know, that producing job in terms of like what they could call the role. And now she has officially made that transition. So we're talking to her about what that evolution has been like since then. Sophie Alkizian's here. Hey, Sophie.
Hello, Nate.
How are you? Welcome back.
I'm so good. Thank you.
You made it to week two of this show.
Yes. Wow. Made it.
Very exciting. And for those out there who are in New York City or going to be soon, you can come and see Sophie in action producing a whole shit ton of podcasts this weekend at DCM. Excited for that, Sophie?
I am. It's going to be really, really fun.
It is going to be great. Mm-hmm. We're going to be at the Podcast Lounge, which is in the performer only sort of like party space at DCM 19 this weekend as we're recording this here in New York City. We've got shows all Saturday and Sunday. Sophie, you and I are going to be running around together. It's going to be great.
Oh, yeah.
A whole slate of shows. So if you're in, you know, in the city and at the marathon, come hang out. There's air conditioning and there's podcasts all afternoon on Saturday and Sunday. And if you're in New York generally this weekend, check out DCM, which has what? I think, Sophie, 1 billion shows?
Yeah, I think it should be definitely 1 billion. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. 1 billion shows. DelCloseMarathon.com for all the information on that. Are you doing more shows this weekend too, Sophie?
I am. I have lots of shows just throughout the night, you know, just going to try and take 1 to 2 hour nap. In between.
You're gonna be in great shape
for our
marathon.
Yeah, top of my game.
Yeah, 100%. Hey, everybody, you know what? If there's one thing about DCM, is that everyone there is at the top of their game.
That's the thing.
Feeling great.
Yeah, you'll see some of the best shows.
Some of the best. I do think the podcast is going to be, I'm really excited. And I think we've got some fun stuff that are not folks on our network, but like friends, including, mm-hmm. and I don't know if you know this, Sophie, but the Meet Improv show. It's wrapping up a cross-country tour.
Whoa.
So the show we're doing, I think it's 4 o'clock on Sunday, is the final leg of their cross-country tour with their show. They're ending it at DCM. So it's
amazing.
The culmination of a multi-city journey, which is exciting.
Yeah.
So come for that. Come for all the shows this weekend here in New York City. All right. So today's episode, as I was mentioning, is an episode with Mujan talking about that process. I don't know, Sophie, is that something that rings with you? I know you're somebody who is working on a production side, but also has creative, you know, creative goals and creative career objectives and creative executions in life.
For sure. Yeah, it definitely does. It was interesting to hear from Mujan, mostly in her words of wisdom being persist, do not give up, just keep at it.
Yeah. All very, you know, important things to hear. And I think also it's great to sort of hear from somebody who's doing it. You know,
mm-hmm.
she's made that thing work.
Yeah.
And so much of it is that, you know what I mean? There is no secret other than just keep trying. Keep mm-hmm. being a good person, keep sort of meeting people, and keep sort of like putting yourself out there for the kind of opportunities that you want.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
So let's jump into our conversation with Mujan. We also took the opportunity of catching up old buddy Mujan, who I hadn't seen in a little while because she's been so busy. We took the opportunity to also sip a Bronx beer, which is always great to do when you're with old friends. We had the Slow Your Roll IPA as we recorded this episode. Of course, a session IPA with mango, guava, and passion fruit overtones.
Wow.
Which is delicious.
Yeah.
A very lovely beer, and you can pick one up. I saw this actually last weekend at the UCB East Bar, so it's definitely there in the can. And you can go to thebronxbrewery.com for information on all their craft brews and all the wonderful places around that you can drink their delicious beer. All right. Thanks to the Bronx Brew for being the official house beer of the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. And let's jump into it, our conversation this week about staffing as a writer with Mujan Zolfagari. Well, Mujan, thanks for coming back.
Thank you. Well, the last time I was here is...
The last time you were here was middle of the night show.
2015?
What's it?
2001? When was
2001.
It? 2001. Uh-huh.
We traveled back in time.
Traveled back in time.
Mm-hmm. When we were Muppet Babies version of this
yes,
show.
Yes, I did. I knew that I was here before, yeah. And I'm making a conscious effort to speak in a deeper voice to okay. show that I've aged since then. I'm a wiser human. I actually, like a month ago, accidentally said the word sure, and I'm like, oh no.
Sure?
Sure. Like that's, and I feel like, oh no, that's starting. Aging is starting. My voice, I'm getting into the old person words.
Hey, you know what? At a certain point, you lean into it.
That's true. That's the Sheryl Sandberg book.
You lean right into it. But, you know, I think what's interesting is that was a moment where that was like your first staffing job that wasn't still writing. Because it was just segment producing. It was writing.
I mean,
we can
talk now. It was writing, yeah. But because it's non-union, it's
wasn't
called...
writing.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that was the first one. I had actually done other ones before, but that was the first one like that was 100% in the comedy community. Before I've done like CNBC stuff or like history show stuff as like an associate producer and producer, which means writer. But it's non-union. So that was the first time I kind of got into like, oh, this is 100% I'm just writing comedy as opposed to researching whatever for other people. Yeah.
But I think what's interesting is that like, yes, in those producing roles in those other capacities, there's a writing component to it. But it isn't writing traditionally in the sense of the word writer isn't in your credits.
Yes.
Right? And it's also not a TV writing job that has the sort of WGA piece.
No healthcare at all. Yes,
and but it feels like that those other skills and that experience were not irrelevant to booking that job.
Oh no,
at the middle
of
the night show.
Yeah,
right. But since then, you have now transitioned away from those hybrid positions.
I don't do that anymore.
Into staffing as a writer.
Yes.
And booking
WGA
as an actor.
And booking as an actor.
Yeah. So, and all of that stuff. So I guess like that's what I wanted to sort of like talk to you about is like what that transition's been since then and what's made you able to make that transition, right? Because there's so many people out there that want to do that stuff who probably have a similar background to you, but like making that twisting that role into that official credit in that way is like the hard part. So what's the process been for you since then?
Since then, I think it takes looking back even further from there. I think the number one, so I've always been like a comedy nerd. I knew this is something I wanted to do. I've had this in a gut feeling. As you know, I've applied to graduate schools because I have a Persian mom. And, you know, she's great and wonderful, but, like, I did it to please them, and I knew I had a gut feeling that's not what I wanted to do my entire life.
Yeah.
But it was actually, because I was thinking about it the other day, it was in my Improv 101 class with Greg Tukulescu, who I believe that's how you say his last name. He was my teacher, and I was, like, such a wide-eyed, naive, like, comedy nerd who just moved to New York knowing nobody, had no friends, had one college friend who lived here.
Yeah.
No money, no nothing, no job. And I immediately signed up for a class because I'm like, I came here for comedy. I came here for UCB. And I asked him, like, so you've done well. What is, like, the one advice you could give to me?
It's
like, young, budding comedian. And it's always stayed with me, and it's very simple. He's just like, don't give up. Persevere. And that's it. And that's, I think... If any success I've had along the way, it's because I just keep working hard.
Okay.
And I don't give up.
And
I've gone, nothing has come to me easy. I've been doing this for a while. And so I have friends right now who are like not been doing it for a while. And they're like, hey, how did you get that agent? How'd you get that manager? And it's like, for me, it took a road for that to happen.
Sure.
There are many different ways to get to whatever your goal is, but for me, it was like a 8-year process.
Okay.
But from like the middle of the night show to maybe, I was a staff writer for The Detour last year on TBS. Mm-hmm. That honestly is just networking, knowing certain people. Weirdly enough, because Nate, we know each other from improv and
yes.
also from UCB Digital.
Yes.
And I was part of a team called UCB One, mm-hmm. which was like the field. It's like doing the Daily Show-esque type of news for UCB Comedy.
Yes.
Loving, thrived. Of a, we did 700 videos.
You guys did so
we
much.
We were the number one team.
It's insane.
There's a plaque outside.
I think Eric
outside.
Yearwood still is like, you know, has PTSD from that year.
I had a great time. And I made so many great friends. Keith was on this broadcast,
yes.
and he did a shout-out to me. So I'm going to do a shout-out to Keith. Keith, you are a great person.
Hey, Keith. We
Keith.
Know Keith is listening.
This is called the Keith moment.
Yes, that's right.
But, like, that situation, because I had been so much in the background of my, like, I was a producer, I was a researcher,
yes.
I was an assistant, whatever.
Yes.
Doing things like UCB One made me do selfish things, which is like, I made a video where I'm the star of it.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a video for myself. I directed a video for me.
Yeah.
And by doing that, I was able to have a reel of my own work and
okay.
not through improv
yep.
and not through sketch comedy. That's like a compilation of a lot of people.
Yes.
It was through doing selfish things and just promoting my own Mujan brand.
Yeah.
And UCB One led many people to believe that I have like field experience and I'm good in the field, which led to some jobs. I did like a hybrid show called Things Starter for CISO,
yes.
which is both like acting and also field. Like we actually had to
There were
pieces in the world that
yeah.
were like Daily Show
mm-hmm.
field piece. We talked to people in the real world.
Yes.
And the showrunner for that show was on The Daily Show.
Yeah.
And I auditioned for Sam B's show, and he recommended me even more highly when Sam B's show was starting.
Yep.
And for a brief, very small moment, I was a correspondent on her show, and I flew out and did a piece about abortion in Texas.
Yes.
But it was the beginning of the show, and they realized, you know, we only want it to be Sam. That wasn't the piece.
Yeah.
But from that, I got to meet Jason Jones, and then from knowing the showrunner at ThinkStarter and knowing Jason,
yes.
and they both worked together on The Detour, is how those pieces came together,
okay.
and I was able to get that first staff writing
okay.
job.
That's cool.
So it's like a network of knowing people and just doing well, and just
yeah.
I don't know. Everyone has their own story.
Well, let me sort of like break that down, because I think that's really insightful in terms of like how all of these things that could otherwise feel disparate,
yes,
in retrospect feel like they were pieces that built something that went somewhere,
exactly,
right? Which is always the case. And so it's really interesting to sort of to see it broken down in that way. So, but it sounds like that one thing that you made a concerted effort to, you describe it as selfish, but also like, but also that,
yeah.
like you didn't just do selfish
no,
things
it,
in that group. You worked hard on a lot
yes.
of different types of videos.
I like to take saying selfish
yes.
back. I don't mean, I
no,
actually, I don't think
I
was
know,
doing that.
I know exactly
yeah.
what you mean. But I guess what I mean is that what you took the initiative on was saying, I want pieces
mm-hmm.
that reflect my comedic identity and my skill set and my voice.
Yes.
And I want to put those things together in a meaningful way that give me a reel to build off of.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a concerted like building block in
yes.
your part. How much of it at that point was, because I also know that the unscripted stuff is something that you are really good at, but
Thank
isn't
you.
Necessarily where 100% of your passion is as a creative. So how much at that time was it, I'm going to do the stuff that's in front of me, and how much were you building the other stuff at that time? Or was it like, I'm going to build a reel and it's going to be mostly unscripted now, and let's
mm-hmm.
see where it goes? Or were you sort of like being picky and also being like, and let me get some stuff on that reel that's me character acting or,
yeah.
you know, whatever the sort of other pieces of you creatively that you wanted to communicate were?
Well, I think primarily it was to, I was so focused because I was also the head writer and basically the showrunner of UCB One as the
You're doing a lot.
I did a
You're
lot.
The senior.
With Matt
everything.
Fisher and Patrick.
Yes.
But I was at that moment very focused on that. I didn't have representation, and so I didn't, you know, any other work I was doing, like I wasn't on mod, I
mm-hmm.
wasn't doing improv, so I was just focused 100% on
yeah.
that element while writing for myself and trying to do character shows and things of that nature. But
yeah.
I think at that point in my life in 2014, I was just
just
primarily
making
focused
videos like
making
that.
Videos like that.
Right.
And then from doing it, learning that, oh wait, this is something I really enjoy doing. I love talking to people, and I can, based on my like improv background and just character background, can take anything anybody gives me and like volley it and like make it crazier or weirder or funnier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. And so I guess, but that sort of like first reel that you put together in that way, that was like really strongly like Mujan's voice, mm-hmm. not just some stuff that like was either student film
right.
or something that somebody cast you in. That's like, you know, not yours at all.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff that's like Mujan.
Yeah. Well, I also will say like maybe up to this point.
Yes.
In the UCB community, I was only known for like improv, and mm-hmm. I wasn't considered for, if they people had videos, I was never asked to do them.
Yeah.
If people were casting things, I wasn't like a name that came up.
Yeah.
I felt like I had to make the effort myself outside of the theater or using digital to just put my name out there and be like, wait guys, I'm here too.
Yeah.
But also like keeping a foot out and doing other things as well.
Sure, sure.
I was also working at that time as well and like production and mm-hmm. stuff. So yeah, I you know, if that's maybe helpful to anybody,
no.
it's not to put your eggs all in one basket and not to get frustrated if you don't get asked to do something. It's just like focus on yourself and make your own reel, do your own web series, just do you.
Yeah.
And that's how you get noticed.
Where did, and I guess, like, so the detour the first writing job that was like WGA you know, proper?
Yes.
It was. Now, to get that job, what was the packet that you had
that
to
was
submit
specs.
For that? And when did all of those pieces come together? How did you formulate mm-hmm. a writer's packet?
So for narrative shows like The Detour or any show, mm-hmm. it really depends on the showrunner and what they want. For me, they asked for a spec script or an original pilot, and I just happened to have a spec script.
You had it.
I just had it, yeah. And I just sent that, and then they read it, and we got coffee, and they talked, and mm-hmm. they realized I may not be a crazy person, and then they hired me.
Yeah.
But other shows, it's if you know, they specifically want either a pilot,
mm-hmm.
or if you're a playwright, they want like a play of yours, or if
you're
right-handed McSweeney's, it's like, it really, there's no one answer for anything. Some people have been hired for things based on their Twitter feed.
Sure.
So there's no one way. But for me, it was a spec that I did.
It was a spec in
yes.
that way. And, but I guess like in terms of like what you had handy, you had this stuff handy.
I was already ready.
At what phase of this process and what pieces did you have at the ready for the opportunity when it came along? Right? Was it just spec scripts, or what else did you have?
Just the old spec. And then Jason had auditioned me,
mm-hmm.
and he knew. He, like, we've briefly had worked with each other, so it was also the human, like, check.
Okay.
So that, you know, I didn't go into the room with strangers.
You
I
didn't
knew
go in the room
them.
Cold. You went into the room with people who you knew, and you had that material.
I had, like, a slighter leg up than just being hired.
Sure.
Yeah.
I guess I'm wondering, like, what's the other stuff that, like, never came out, you know, was never sort of released from the chamber, right? What else is in the,
like,
you know,
pilot scripts or
pilot script?
Short stories mm-hmm. or any of those things. I write so many different things. But, I mean, I've done a lot of packets, as we, many other comedians, have done for late night shows.
Sure.
I've gotten close so many times. I actually have this one story.
Yeah.
I won't mention what show it was.
Okay.
But I got very far in the process.
Sure.
And I got an email from the assistant to the execs and all the heads saying, like, hey, so they loved you or whatever. They want to speak to you. The main person of the show wants to speak to you, and the other executives want to speak to you on the phone tomorrow. And I happened to have a flight that day, and I was like, gonna be in the middle of the air. And I told them, I emailed her back, because I was like, holy shit, this is like, oh my god, this is the job, like, I want this job. I'm like, hey, listen, I'm gonna be in a flight, I will 100% cancel the flight for you for this, just let me know, please, I will do anything. I'm not desperate. I didn't come off desperate. It was a very formal, just,
I'll
like
cancel the flight, but I'm not, you know,
but I'm not desperate. It wasn't all in caps. I didn't put pictures of me just like yelling. But she emailed back like, oh, no, you know what, do your flight, when you come back, we'll schedule a time for you to talk on the phone, like, don't worry about it. And I'm like, emailed back, are you sure? And she's like, definitely. So I do my flight, I come back to New York, I hear nothing. And I email them back, and I'm like, hey, so I'm back, what's up?
Yeah.
Just saying, I'm available literally any time for phone, for meeting, anything, any time of the day. I'm physically here. I am not moving. I'm not getting on a plane anytime soon. And they're like, hey, sorry, we filled the position. And she's like, it wasn't because of that phone call or you being on a flight. And I'm like, yes, it was. It was. So,
the first two pieces of advice you've offered on this are be selfish and cancel your life for your job.
Yes. Break up with people. Just like give up on things. Leave your family behind. You only get this one chance.
I mean, I take your point. I mean, that's really funny, man. I mean, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
That's a real
but
bummer.
I am an old, I got a... Got the old packets. Actually, I'm starting a job on Monday.
Okay.
We're shooting this. This is on a Thursday. And this Monday, I'm doing something based on a packet that I wrote.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Okay.
For a thing on TBS.
Okay.
And that was like a submission packet, whatever. My language is leaving me. Hold on. Let me just get language back. Okay. It was a packet.
Okay.
And there are so many different versions of The Daily Show or Colbert Report or whatever, I feel like a bunch of us have been doing these for a very long time, and they always kind of ask for similar things, but I feel like for the middle of the night show and perhaps the show and like other opportunities I've gotten hired for, it's like, do something that makes you stand out. Don't do just the same story everyone else is doing about whatever's happening for the headline. And so I wrote about sex robots.
Okay.
And they liked it, and... I'm starting a thing on Friday, Monday.
Oh, that's awesome.
Thank you.
And also because you broke up with everyone in your life and made yourself available for this.
I don't know where my parents are.
Mm-hmm. Haven't talked to them in years.
Nope. Friends, what are those?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, okay, so that's interesting, too. So you're saying that that is a little tip there, is like make something that makes you stand out and that also feels like it's semi-customized for the opportunity, too. Like you have this boilerplate packet in some ways, which you're probably always updating and sort of like finding the things that feel most relevant or most appropriate and losing things that don't feel right, that don't curate the right version of how you want to present yourself for the opportunity.
Right.
But also like putting that thing in that is like you.
Mm-hmm.
Putting you first.
Also have fun with it. Okay. There's so many people who it's like they hate doing packets, and it's like, I mean, definitely, yeah, you hate doing them. If you keep doing them, you never get them. That's a horrible feeling. But if you hate doing the packet you will be hired to do, maybe you shouldn't do that job.
Yeah.
So just have fun with it. Put your personality in it, because at the end of the day, you're going to be hired for you and for that voice.
Yeah.
But then again, I haven't been hired for things, and I did exactly that. So disregard everything I'm saying.
It's so funny. I feel like that's the most common sentiment that people, working in this business have, which is like, this is how I've done it, but who the fuck knows?
Who the fuck knows?
And also, everything's so specific.
Yeah. Also, anything that has happened to me, I've had a very weird ride these past 8 years. Sometimes it's been like I've gotten very close to things and it's been so crazy, or I've gotten the jobs or I haven't gotten them. There's no one way to success in this business, and it's frustrating and it's annoying, or it's great and like things happened when you're at your lowest, something amazing happens.
And you're also somebody who like I know, like I feel like I'm constantly saying goodbye to you forever.
Yes.
Like you've also almost left New York.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah.
A million times, including right this second, where you're like, I saw you post the other day, like, I'm once again treating it like this is my last summer in New York.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't think anybody ever leaves New York. New York is here. I'm always afraid to put up that status. It's like, I'm moving to Los Angeles, because it's like, or maybe I should, because I feel like people who do that immediately get hired to like work for
in
great
New York,
jobs.
Yeah.
But also, I go where the job is, and I've had jobs in Los Angeles, and I've had jobs here, and I enjoy both places, so we'll see what happens.
I guess, how do you feel about that component of it? Like, I guess it's, I just mean to wonder, it's like, it also feels like you're, like you have been on a fence about where to live, and if I'm not mistaken, have you put grad school to rest?
If I was dead.
You, is it?
I think, I mean, unless...
Because you've also been on that fence
for
so long.
Right now, it's 100%.
It's 100% dead.
Mom. Let me just give you, let's just do a moment for my mom. Mom, you're great. Let's talk for a second. I think, maybe it's, I don't think I'm going to go. But who knows? I mean, life life is a whirlwind.
You just came back. You just came back.
Who knows? Maybe in like 10 years where I'm like living in a ditch, I get a scholarship to become a cartoonist. My mom did. They've gotten, so my parents, I've come from a very scholarly, academic Persian family that you're basically not an adult until you have your master's. And so even though I am of an age where maybe I should have 20 kids by now. Yeah. My parents are like, I guess since you didn't get PhD, you marry man with PhD. I'm like, that is also not a thing. What was the point of this story?
I think you're saying that they don't think you're an adult unless you have.
Yes. That. But recently they really want me to get any sort of grad degree. Yeah. And so I went out for pilot season in February in Los Angeles, and my dad just, you know, they're engineers, my mom's an accountant, I'm the black sheep of the family, the creative, and they're just like, so you go audition, you get paid for this? This is a Persian accent for those of you who are wondering. Yeah. And I'm like, he's like, you interview for jobs, but you never get hired for any of them. I'm like, well, I've gotten close. And he's like, can you go to grad school for audition? I'm like, oh no, Dad, I think that's acting school. Maybe.
A PhD in auditioning.
Yeah, and my mom recently was like, you love doodling. Go get a PhD in cartoon.
That's
I'm like,
funny.
No. I mean, sure.
Yeah, why not?
Why not? So long story short, no, Nate. At this moment in time,
grad
I am
school's
not
gone.
Considering. It's gone. I kept getting closer to what I want to do.
Yeah.
We've discussed this. I almost went to USC for producing school.
That's right.
Which is almost to what I want to be doing.
Sure.
Almost there.
I mean, yeah, I guess.
Almost
it's like
there.
Isn't that school, though, like a network executive track?
Yeah.
Like, it's producing, but it's like meant to sort of get you into like that development.
And
world.
Who knows? And maybe if I had gone in 2014, I would have been calling you from my jet at this moment. Maybe this is a huge. But the thing is, the reason I didn't go is I was interviewing. I was like having such a mental breakdown. I didn't know if I should be doing this because I didn't know where my career was going. And I interviewed like a bunch of people who were alumni. People who just graduated and people down the field. And it's the Peter Stark program. So it's an amazing program. If you get into it, go, I guess, if you have the money and you research it and then decide to go.
Yeah.
Some people I've talked to, they're like, I graduated, now I'm a writer's assistant and I know all these people. And it's like, I was a writer's assistant and I do know a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so for me, it was not worth maybe spending $150,000.
Sure. It felt like a detour. It felt like a detour to wind it back in the same like job pool.
And putting yourself on halt for 2 years, which as an actress too, as a female, is also a thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, the reason why I was sort of like asking that question is because you feel like you've been on the fence about life changes.
Just
environmental
location.
Changes.
Location, yes.
Here's what I wonder. How do you ride and evaluate opportunities to make the decision that with where you wind up? Right, knowing that you're still on that fence somewhat, but like I guess what's your mechanism for like evaluating opportunities to say, do I want this? Is this good for me?
Mm-hmm.
Is this where I want my life to be going?
Right now, there was definitely a point where I didn't want to leave New York, so I didn't even consider Los Angeles. Right now, I am up in the anyone that wants me, I will take it. What for career wise, it's. Will it box me into a certain genre of things?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to do reality.
Okay.
I say these things. It's. I don't want to say absolutes because who knows what's going to happen in my life. But I never went back into like that production world that I was in because that's not a thing I want to be doing. And I was able to save up enough to be like, I'm ready to continue down this path.
Okay.
It's a job that would be different. I'd be learning more skills. I would perhaps getting a network of other people to work with who I could rise up with. I feel most of my opportunities have been from knowing people, from being friends with people, from this person recommended me, from being a human check. And then location honestly hasn't really been that big of a decision factor.
Okay.
I've just been very lucky in that for the past 8 years in New York, I've been consistent. I mean, I'm a freelance, so there's been months where I've done nothing.
You're not someone who stops.
Yes.
Even if there
I
is
don't
no
stop.
Job.
I will be
to
at a
do.
Cafe working on something and stressing about it.
Yeah.
Vacations. I don't deserve them until I deserve them. I'm not a good vacation person.
Okay.
But job wise, my factors are, yeah, it's just if I see this leading to something even bigger and better.
Okay.
If it's something I'm interested in, mm-hmm. and if it's now part of the union,
okay,
which I have to do union
sure.
jobs, so yeah.
So like, but you also like even creatively, is there a process by which you make that evaluation? It's really like, do I see this being something?
Well,
I guess what's your weighing in terms of like an opportunity that is between short term
mm-hmm.
and long term goals and happiness? right?
What is happiness?
I mean, okay.
That's
fair.
Another block.
Good point.
Oh boy. Cut that part out.
be selfish. Give up your life, and there's no such thing as happiness.
No, it's there. It's everyone's great and wonderful.
Even in evaluating a creative opportunity.
Yeah.
Like what's your process for evaluating whether or not it's good?
Yes.
Short term, long term. And also,
honestly,
like,
I'll just take what I don't take whatever job, but yeah. long term or short term, that's never been. I haven't been doing a lot of long terms, like mm-hmm. years. I haven't been on things. Mm-hmm. I actually really like doing project to project. I like learning new things and having new experiences.
Okay.
But if I was on a show that would be like a staff writing show that would continue on and on and on, I would be down for that too.
Yeah.
Because
I also
right
know
fit.
That you have, like, and we don't need to go into the details mm-hmm. of it, but I know that you have said no to things that
yes.
were on the table
yes.
for you. And because
yes.
it's, at the time you
okay.
were saying that it felt like it was not the right fit for where you wanted your life to be headed.
Right. There were some opportunities that I got and mm-hmm. I said no to because it just wasn't the humor that I wanted to be known for doing.
Okay.
Like it may be like way too celebrity based and like not necessarily heartfelt or mean or something like that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, no, definitely I do. I don't say yes to everything. I've gotten maybe so far in my career where I'm able to say no.
Yeah.
And that's why you have like, if you're able to and you have like a manager, their job and responsibility is to be like, who are you? What is this brand?
Yeah.
Who's this person we're trying to sell?
Yeah.
I'm not going to go, even like commercials auditioning and stuff like that. Like, I'm not going to do everything that they ask me to because that's my priority is not necessarily making bajillions of dollars. It's like, who's this person? Who's me? I want me to be represented. And I don't want to like be false to who I am.
I mean, I think that like that all sounds great.
Yes.
But I think that's hard. I think that's a hard thing sometimes
it
for
is.
People to see.
Yes.
And to make that decision to walk away from something that is lucrative.
Yes.
Potentially.
Yes.
And then, you know, and still there's no guarantees that it's even going to go. So you could sign on to that thing and then it could say, nope, but we don't want you.
Exactly. No, this field is horrible.
Yeah. But
and also it's a very, you know, if you're lucky enough to say no to things, you're very lucky. I mean, you're very lucky to be in that position. Not
yeah.
everyone is always in that position.
Yeah.
To just continue to say no to things.
But for you, you're looking at that opportunity and saying, how much does this reflect what I want to be known
for? Yeah. Will I be proud of working on this?
Sure.
And I think most of the things I've done,
yeah.
I'm very proud of being part of.
Okay.
Yeah. Even as an actor and both as a writer. Yeah. And also, especially as an actor, I feel I have this additional component, which sometimes is a little stressful in that in the audition room, it's not just me. It's also like my ancestors. I'm an Iranian American. So there's just certain, like, I don't know. I always think about like my cousins and like my parents and like, I want to be selfish, but there's some material that like I don't feel comfortable doing because I think about the other, you know, who am I doing this for? It's not just me, but I also have all these other people I'm like representing.
Yeah.
And so if something's racist, sometimes I don't do it. Even though, and that's hard, especially right now for like Middle Eastern people. There's a lot of racism out there, and there's some companies that are like, how wonderful are we to put a Middle Eastern person on television, but they're representing them in a way that may be inaccurate or offensive.
Yeah.
And so I've had those moments where I've had to debate that question in my head
sure.
of like, I'll do it for the money, but also I would feel ashamed for doing it and feel bad for my community for being known as that actress who misrepresented them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's another burden I like take on me with everything I do.
I mean, like, I won't claim to know what that feels.
You
like.
Do, Nate, as a beautiful white man. You and yeah. that silky, silky voice.
Definitely. But that sounds really shitty, man. To walk in there and be like, I've got all my ancestors with me in this audition? Commercial audition for yogurt?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I don't want my ancestors anywhere near me.
Mujan is the yogurt fat free. You are promoting fat.
Oh, God. I mean, is that something that you try to address before you walk in the room? Or is that something that you have had to address, like, in the audition room itself? Because that sounds fucking awkward.
Okay. definitely before.
Before.
But there was one situation where I did it in the room. And the casting agent was like, don't worry. It's totally cool. I got your back. But, of course, the casting agent is not the person who's not the producer of right. the product. They're just there to help facilitate the process
yeah.
and using their amazing humans, everyone, casting directors,
yeah. mm-hmm.
wonderful humans. They're wonderful. They change lives. And I gave her my spiel about the certain role because I felt it was offensive towards Iranian Americans specifically. And she was like, yeah, no problem. And then I did it. And then I later, yeah. Long story short, I didn't wear a hijab or something. And then they, I guess I should have.
You guess you should have.
No, I'm take that back. But it's like, I don't know. I always have those problems. But
yeah.
I don't know. It's a big debate, especially recently, especially like even
yeah.
in pilot season in Los
I'm
Angeles.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's, yeah, that's really wild.
Yeah. Yeah. Pilot season was it was a fun experience.
Yeah. Do you recommend it?
If you have representation, yes.
Yes.
It's if you don't have representation, I don't know how it works.
How it would work, yeah.
yeah.
I imagine it'd be pretty hard.
I mean, I'm still not a jaded person yet. I'm still excited to be doing everything that I'm doing. So I was just so excited and had the best time just going on lots and
mm-hmm.
having auditions on lots, like the Fox lot. So much history, so much amazement. The Warner Brothers lot. I had a great time, even though it was like amazing being rejected on lots as opposed to in New York being rejected in like shitty little small rooms in Midtown.
Right. Walking back out onto the crowded
yeah, the
streets.
Disgusting, like 8th Avenue. There it's like, oh, well, hey, I got to see where the Big Bang Theory was. Okay, that wasn't the highlight, but it's like, you get it if you were into the Big Bang Theory.
Sure. A lot of Big Bang Theory. Keith,
yeah.
you're out there.
Keith,
I know that
huge.
You love
Keith
the Big
has
Bang
a shout
Theory.
Out to you and your Big Bangness.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but that was, it's so, yeah, so my journey has been also becoming more confident as an actor.
Okay.
And so as you've known me in the digital process,
mm-hmm.
I actually got a start as a producer for the digital world,
mm-hmm.
the UCB digital comedy world.
That's right.
Because I didn't go to film school. I didn't take any classes like that. I was always in love with television and movies, and I wanted to be involved with it, and I just didn't know how. And so I had the skills to become a producer, and like even through that, like those teams, rest in peace, I was able to just learn how to become a filmmaker from like the most basic way.
Sure.
And that inspired me to, you know, be like, you know what? I want to be a writer. I don't want to be a producer. In fact, some people recently emailed me like, hey, can you produce something? And I was just like, no, I don't do
yeah.
that anymore.
Yeah.
That's not a thing I do. And so I have to just be very strict about I changed the course of my life and I'm only doing writing or acting. Yeah, or directing, you know, whoever wants me out
sure,
there.
Sure, that too.
I mean, big bucks. They have amazing health benefits at the DGA, is all I'm saying. I hear it's the number one.
Are you actively still pursuing that side of things or no?
What's that? What
directing.
Do you mean by that side?
Directing.
Not at the moment.
Not at the
I
moment.
Mean, I have like a short that I made and I'm sending it to things, but I love doing that too. I just
mm-hmm.
love doing all of it.
Yeah.
It's I just wish there was 200 of me and I can be involved with all facets. I'll be a casting director. I mean, I love it all.
You love changing lives.
I love Hollywood, except not physically. Hollywood is not that pretty
Hollywood
of a place.
Proper? No,
proper, no.
But some of the other parts of Los Angeles.
Yeah,
beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful.
Oh,
beautiful.
The parks.
Oh, yeah.
The Whole Foods 365. Shout out to good groceries.
That's right. and then, you know, the other thing, and here's the last question I'll ask you.
Okay.
So mom... This is another question, like, for mom.
Maheen.
Would mom accept, like, an Emmy instead of a master's degree? Does that
yes.
make you an adult? You get, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
You get a little gold hardware? Does that mitigate
yes.
the Mujan's black sheep of the family thing?
I don't know. She should still be like, my mom, I think I have a friend, we have a mutual friend from the
mm-hmm.
finally, we can talk about it. We were in this team called The Opera together.
Oh, you've been waiting
the best
to pull that one
I'm waiting for that all along. If you go to the UCB Theater, you'll see pictures of us throughout.
Oh, legendary.
They just have our scenes. Mm-hmm. We kind of defined what comedy is.
Yeah.
Anyway, mm-hmm. our friend Opus was at Colbert.
Still is.
He still is, yeah. He's right. The main man. And I mentioned to my mom, like, oh, yeah, my friend works there. And she's like, what was his PhD in? I'm like, Mom, no. Like, my mom still, bless Mahin soul, believes that you need, like, a degree to do something. So yeah. She's learning. They're getting better. They've accepted. I a couple years ago, got a LinkedIn notification that my dad recommended me for comedy, which is so nice.
That's really
and
nice.
I think it was, that's, like, the most I've gotten.
That's beautiful.
That's very beautiful. But I think an Emmy would be good if I go on stage and thank them. I would bring her.
Yeah.
I think so. But then she'd still be like, if I don't continue getting an Emmy, she'd be worried. I think it's like, you need to continue getting it. One Emmy isn't enough.
Well, but once you have so many, then they'll give you one of those honorary degrees.
Oh, yeah.
You need to get
to
that place where you get the honorary degree.
Oh, yeah. I'll go to any college of my choice and be like, yeah.
The honorary
there it is.
Degree.
Yeah. I didn't have to go through debt or anything like that.
Well, I'm also really excited to see, I know we don't have a date for this, but you have one more UCB Digital series that's going to come out.
I guess we do.
Eventually.
Eventually.
We don't know when it's going to be, but it's coming.
At some point, if the start of the year is 2-0, the end parts I don't know. Yeah.
But I can't wait to see that. Is there anything else that people should check out there for you right now?
I'm still doing, I love acting, so I do the old mod here at UCB.
Great.
I'm on a team called Arch Nemesis.
Cool.
I'm part of a podcast that's going to be coming out in September with Audio Boom.
Cool.
Called Mission to Six. I think that's how we're saying it.
Very
it's
cool.
A sci-fi improvised storytelling thing with a bunch of guests that we have, which
Radical.
Is super fun. And I'm working on some shows, and maybe one day you'll also see me hopefully on the Amy Sedaris show.
Great.
So yeah.
And I see you pop up on like John Oliver once in a while.
Yes. So I'm a day player.
Once
whoever
in a while
needs
we
me.
See your face,
whoever. I seem to get a lot of roles playing managers. So I guess I have the voice of a manager.
Yeah, that deep voice.
I have that deep voice.
Older.
Actually, if you can go back through this entire podcast and make my voice the deep setting. So
yeah, the
makes,
deep setting.
The
on
deep
the...
setting. So it shows me as an adult, a thriving adult. I've done very well.
Very good. Well, Mujan, thank you so much
thank
for coming
you,
out.
Thank you, Nate.
And that will do it for episode number 49 of the UCB Digital Podcast. Thanks to Mujan for sitting down, taking the time to chat. Check her out. She's all over the place. Her videos are all over the place. I still need to check out her Go 90 series Thanksgiving, which I hear excellent things about. I need to actually sit down with my phone and invest the time to watch that. So I encourage all of y'all to do that as well. And thanks so much, Mujan, for coming out and doing it. Thanks to you for listening. You, the listeners, are why we do this show. And hopefully this is something that's beneficial to you in your career trajectory and your work in digital media. If you like this show, we hope you'll share it with a friend. And also subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes.com/UCB Comedy, where we love to hear from you. If you have ideas for episodes of this show, you can always tweet at us or Facebook connect with us at UCB Digital, or send us an email. We love to talk with you. Podcasts, plural, at UCBComedy.com. I promise that we'll respond, and we would love to connect with you and talk about the kind of work that you're doing and how this show can benefit that process. Thanks to the Bronx Brewery for being the official house beer of the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. We enjoyed that Slow Your Roll IPA as we had this conversation. A lovely beer to sip and a lovely beer to drink on a hot summer day, so we'll hope you'll pick one up the next time you're out and about in the heat, and go to thebronxbrewery.com for more information on all of Bronx's excellent craft beer selection. As always, you can find new videos from UCB Comedy on YouTube, Vimeo, and Facebook, where we are now doing a Facebook Live on a weekly basis. So go to facebook.com/UCB Comedy for that stuff, and go to Vimeo and YouTube/UCB Comedy for all things digital media from UCB. And until next time, y'all, when we'll be back after the Del Close Marathon, we'll see you on the internet.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.